Welcome to Haunted Hospitality, Southern Stories Told by Spooky Gingers. I'm Robin.
And I'm Zoe, and I have a story for you guys today. This is our first episode of 2023.
Still sounds like a fake year.
Woo!
Woo!
But Robin, how is your life?
As if you don't know.
As if I don't know.
My life is good. I am officially, finally moving into my apartment because I can take stairs now.
Woo!
Woo! Broken legs can't keep me down for over half a year. And Zoe knows this because I, around noon, today, sent her a video of me clearly moving things into my apartment. She was like, "Do you need help?" And I always do. So in exchange for pizza, she came and pretty much put my bed together, put my desk together, did a lot of things.
Your dad did, I think, most of the heavy lifting.
You and my dad, and then me in a chair being like, y'all are doing great. Y'all are doing so good. For a little bit of context for people thinking I'm absolutely lazy, a lot of it required just being on the floor, and that is a hard thing for me to do, and especially get up from.
Yeah. You have an excuse. That just means, like, when I move, like, once you're fully better in the far imagined future, that you're just gonna have to do all the heavy lifting for me.
I'll have to pull my weight this time. This is the second move you've helped me with.
Yeah, I guess it has been.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your efforts today.
You're welcome.
How has your day been? Or how have you been? How's life? What do we ask each other?
As you can tell, I'm very purple right now. Like, I just feel like my I'm very always very purple, but I'm just sitting here and enjoying my Christmas presents. Like, I have a little mini fridge from Kari sitting right next to my monitor, and
I saw that you both gave each other a mini fridge for your desk. Which one did you give him? Because there's a black and a white one, so who gave who which?
I gave him the bigger black one, but he gave me the 1950s Frigidaire styled.
That's so cute. I was hoping that's the one you got because it's so retro
and it's white and it matches my PC, and I love it.
It's so cute.
But I'm currently drinking a Diet Coke that I got out of that Frigidaire. And then I'm sitting here in my hoodie, which is a wearable blanket hoodie. So that was for my mom. And my nails are painted purple from the gel nail set that Kari got me. And I'm wearing my brand new Galaxy watch that Kari got me. And
also purple.
Also purple, of course. And life is just good. I feel like for the past few Christmases, I've agreed with the general consensus of it doesn't really feel like Christmas. But this Christmas, I was like, no, it's gonna feel like Christmas. And so, like, I went into it and it felt like Christmas. It was good.
Oh, I'm so happy for you about that.
Thank you.
Wait, can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
There's been a general consensus that Christmases haven't felt like Christmas, because I've been feeling like Christmases haven't felt like Christmas for the past few years, but I didn't know that there was other people. I thought I was having a crisis.
No, like every year or online, like either on Facebook or Reddit or Twitter or TikTok or whatever social media, I've always seen, like, does anybody else feel like it hasn't been Christmas this year? Like, I've seen that since like 2016.
Really?
But this time I put in the effort and I made it feel like Christmas.
Christmas is so much about effort.
It is. It's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of effort. I saw this great, I think it was a Twitter thread about this guy who doesn't normally, like, practice Christmas or anything, but he has roommates who do, so he decided to give it a try this year. And he went detail by detail, just kind of, what is it called, decontextualizing, but like, showing what Christmas is just through the eyes of somebody who has no idea what it is. So it makes it seem like weirder to you when you're reading it. But he's like, okay, once Thanksgiving is over, you have a part-time job called Christmas. And that is so true.
It really
and he's
is.
Like, you're going to spend so much money. You're going to have to do so much work. I mean, it's just, it's true. And I do love Christmas. Christmas is my favorite holiday. I have admitted this on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But it's so much.
It is. Well, Robin, I know you have a something for us, but before we go into this, I'd like to put you on the spot and ask you, do you have a resolution, a New Year's resolution for 2023?
because this is their first episode of the new year. Yeah. No. And okay. Can I tell you why?
Okay, go ahead.
New Year's resolutions, I've had like some issues with them. So a friend of mine told me, not this year, but the past year, that a friend of hers told her that what they do, rather than come up with resolutions for the next year, because you're kind of saying like, well, I did this badly this year, here are some going to fix it next year. So you're kind of ending the year on a weird note while trying to begin on a good one. Instead of doing that, they listed all the things they had done that year. And okay. So it doesn't have to just be accomplishments. It can be like really fun things you did. So last year, and I didn't do it this year because I could only think of one thing that I thought I did, and that was walking. That was my thing.
That's a pretty big thing.
It was a pretty big thing with context. It was a pretty big thing. But no, last year, you know, it was just like I put in a full list of like fun times too. So no, I actually don't have a resolution, but it's okay. Because I'm trying to put it more into positively reflecting on the last year.
Okay.
Yeah. So I walked, but that's not a resolution.
Yay.
I hope to keep it doing it. What about you? Do you have a resolution?
I do. I have a couple, but one that I really hope I can keep up is I got a big old agenda planner thing.
Oh, I love that.
And I want to actually use it from January until December. Because my last year's agenda, which I won't dig out of this drawer, my last year's agenda,
you
think...
You acted like you had such a like a messy drawer, but I saw it. It was quite organized.
But, well, I mean, I have stuff piled on... Okay, here it is. Let me see if I can find... where I left off in 2022. Oh, there it is. It was 18th of May.
That's actually much better than I thought you were going to say.
Yes, 18th of May was when I quit on my 2022. By the way, this is a Kari sticker. Isn't that so cute?
Oh, it's art that Kari drew.
Yes.
People who don't see this.
But yeah, so my goal is to get all the way to December in this one. And then another goal is to do NaNoWriMo again this year.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. Those are two really good goals. I'm sorry for dissing the concept of New Year's resolutions.
Well, I did try to make it more attainable this year, you know?
Those are two. Well, I mean, like, they're big on their own, though.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. But, like, I also think it's stuff you would enjoy doing, and it's stuff you do, NaNoWriMo-wise, have a track record.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to hear my something-something?
I do want to hear your something-something.
Okay. And I'm a little bit scared we did this last year, and I just don't remember.
Oh, no.
New Year's superstitions?
Okay.
Did we do it last year?
I don't know.
Either way, you're getting it again!
Woo!
Okay, and so I am pulling from two different articles that like list out New Year's superstitions. One is from Country Living by Ivy Jacobson Ford, and the other one, and both of these are linked in our source page, and the other one is from Good Housekeeping from Cameron Jenkins. So I'm just going to go through these, and I pulled from these. So if you want more of these, go to their articles. So the first one, this is your most basic.
Okay.
A New Year's kiss.
I did that.
You did that. Congratulations to you. The idea is that if you kiss a person on New Year's, you're going to be with them for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Which is ideally the case with you, a married woman.
I do have to say that track record wise, every time I've gotten the kiss, it's been true. Every time I have not gotten the kiss, it's been true.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because the year I broke up with my ex, he ditched me on New Year's Eve, and I later learned he was with the woman he was cheating on me with.
It checks out.
Yep.
But now we're good because it's Kari.
Yes, we love Kari.
Okay, the next one, and I like this one a lot. Open your doors just before midnight.
Yes.
In your house. The idea? Let the last year out. let the new year in.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I saw a Facebook meme yesterday saying, with the year we've had, we should open the doors, windows, garages. Get out.
If like your house could be like a drawbridge and the roof just open. Perfect. Okay, this is one that I have, I think, partaken in.
Okay.
Eat collard greens and black-eyed peas. I do have an asterisk about this one, though.
Okay, I have not done that.
So I've done that, but more often than not, I have eaten sauerkraut on New Year's, which is a German tradition for good luck in the new year. Because my friend's mom is German, and I would often spend New Year's over with them. However, I ate sauerkraut last year on New Year's Day, and I purposefully did not eat sauerkraut today. Like, I even thought about it.
Uh-huh.
It was like, should I eat some? And then I was like, absolutely not. Listen, I'm not saying last year was the worst year on record. It wasn't for me personally. But I am saying that it was not lucky. I'm saying that it wasn't lucky. So I don't know. You might not want to eat sauerkraut. I have done that in the past. So far, no good.
All right.
Also, I don't like it. Don't cry. Don't cry on New Year's.
I did not cry. I have not cried yet today.
Oh, shoot, I cried.
No!
It was real. It was late. I was not terribly sad. I'm just emotional.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, I cried. So, oopsie. Oopsie. But the idea is that if you cry on New Year's Day, you're going to be sad the rest of the year.
Oh, no. Well, wait. When you cried, was it, like, tears of joy?
It was tears of reflection.
Okay, well, maybe you'll have a very reflective year then.
I think that's okay. I think that's better than sadness, hopefully.
Yeah. So it's whatever caused you to cry. You'll have a lot of that this year.
Okay. The next thing. Don't leave the house until someone comes in your house.
Oh, I messed that up.
Sorry. Well, no, you left before I contacted you. I also messed that up. I mean, who's going to randomly, because that person has to leave their house.
Exactly.
Next up, we have, you want to be loud when the new year comes in.
Okay.
And this is actually my favorite superstition, because the idea is that you're going to be so loud during the new year that you're going to scare away the evil spirits.
Hey, maybe that's why we all yell and cheer and happy new year.
I completely agree. We were in a Denny's, you and I, recently.
Very recently, yes.
We were in a Denny's.
Yes.
And was I saying that, like, New Year's was a liminal space, or was I saying that Denny's was a liminal space? Both are true.
You were saying Denny's, but I can see New Year's being a liminal space as well.
New Year's is, so maybe the evil spirits were, like, trying to come in during the spirited transition. And you just gotta be so loud that they're like, no, we're not dealing with this one.
Yeah.
This next one is silly. It wants you to just, wherever you go, bring an empty suitcase with you for a little bit, with the idea that, like, you are ready to, I guess, travel.
I've seen, like, go around the block with an empty suitcase to bring in safety or new travels.
Oh, going around the block is so much better than just, like, for the first, I don't know, week, like, going in with a carry-on.
Yeah.
Okay, next one is toss your furniture out, but toss it out a window. Apparently, this is a European tradition in some cultures, and it symbolizes being done with old things. But and
do you buy new furniture every year?
I think that's weird, and also, like, especially since I thought, if this is, like, an old superstition, people used to keep their furniture for much longer than they do now.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, like, I am going to Goodwill a lot of furniture soon. Maybe I can just throw it out the window instead.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, like, they would throw it out into their lawns and then go get it and bring it back in, but I feel like that defeats the purpose.
Like, you would break a chair leg.
Yeah.
You kill a man, depending on how high up you are.
That is true.
This next one is from the Philippines, and it is to wear polka dots.
Did you say Philippines?
I thought I said Philippines.
It sounded like you said Philippines.
I really hope I didn't say that. This one is from the Philippines, and it is to wear polka dots. And I think this has to do, because it's really about round objects and mm-hmm. round things. And so I think it has to do with, like, coins.
So it's funny that you bring that up, because my coworker, Sandy, she's from the Philippines, and she actually did a presentation on holiday cultures in the holiday traditions in the Philippines, and she brought mm-hmm. that up, and she said she didn't know why people do it.
Okay, well, it said, like, okay, the description of it says, like, also round objects like coins and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it's about wealth, and so I assume that the reason it's about wealth is because coins are round.
Okay.
I assume.
Yeah.
This next one is also from the Philippines. And Zoe, if you're ever feeling a little bit short,
jump.
Just wait till the new year. Jump! Yeah!
Yes, that was another one of her list.
Oh, very nice. This next one is this one. Scratch the other one. This one's my favorite.
Uh-huh.
If you like someone, and I'm not saying if you have a crush, I'm saying, like, if you're like, that's a good person, I like that person, we are friends.
Uh-huh.
On New Year's Day, just go around and throw some dishes at their house and break it against their house.
Well, I should have brought some dishes, Robin, when I came visiting you.
You really should have. Nothing like some good old porcelain shards around. What would I, like, try to do with yours? You live in a third floor walk-up. Am I just going to, like, toss it and try to go really high in the air?
Yes, that is what I expect you to do.
All right. The next one, this is another food one. Okay. People in Japan will eat soba noodles for good luck in the new year. Mm-hmm. I like those. I like soba noodles. I had them, I think, just once, but it was really, really good. Yeah. And it was cold, too.
Yeah, there's cold soba and there's hot soba.
I don't usually like cold food that, like, I feel like should be hot, but I really liked cold soba. That was good. The next one is look outside if you're a woman. This one's very heteronormative, but if you are a woman, look outside your window, because if you see a man,
uh-oh,
you are going to find love in the new year. And, like they say, quote, you will find love in the new year. But it doesn't necessarily say, like, with that guy.
Okay.
I feel like it's also very likely that if you look out your window long enough, you will see a man, just mm-hmm. statistically, unless you, like, live in the woods. And if you see a man, that's a really scary thing. And the next one is kind of dark. Well, I guess it's not dark. It's just, it's burning photos. And so it's burning, you know, old things that have happened.
Mm.
And, like, about new things. Which is so, I don't know, I don't like burning photos.
I mean, maybe
I don't have any experience with it.
Maybe if you have duplicates, burn half of them.
Yeah, yeah. If you just print them out. Like, you have digital copies.
Yeah.
I'm like, I had so much fun with you this year, but now it's over. Goodbye.
Exactly.
All right. That's it for me. I hope you enjoyed slightly chaotic New Year's superstition something something.
I liked it. Thank you very much, Robin.
You're welcome. Do you have a story for us today?
I do. So, you know what has a lot of dead bodies in it?
I was just doing a little bit of a dance. I'm going to stop that now. What?
Cemeteries.
I don't know why I didn't guess that.
So you'd think that in a haunted hospitality podcast that covers haunted places, yeah, we'd cover a cemetery once in our first 100 episodes. And we're on episode 92 and we haven't done that yet.
So did you want to just check that box off?
I did want to go ahead and check that box off.
I'm so happy with this. I've been wanting to do a cemetery episode for a while. We've touched on cemeteries in other episodes, but mm-hmm. nothing purely dedicated.
Yes. To it. So mm-hmm. if I'm going to do an episode on a cemetery in the South, I think there's really only one city I can go to. Well, maybe two, but, like, There's one in particular that I'm particularly attracted to.
I know it's between two options.
What are your two options? Are they the same ones I'm thinking of?
I assumed so.
Okay, go ahead and guess.
Well, now that you said it's a city you're particularly attracted to. Okay, there's a really famous cemetery in Savannah.
Uh-huh. We're in Savannah.
Is it the Bonaventure Cemetery?
That is one of them, yes.
Oh, so you're doing all the cemeteries.
I'm doing two. If I was doing all of them, we'd be here for like 5 hours.
I love this. Okay.
Okay, so we're doing two cemeteries in Savannah, Georgia. I was thinking the other city would be New Orleans. Okay.
So my first guess was Charleston and Savannah, because I am personally very interested in Charleston cemeteries and have long wanted to do an episode on Charleston cemeteries. But when you said it's a city that you're particularly attracted to, it took a moment to process, but then I was like, oh, New Orleans, duh.
Yeah, yeah. But Savannah's the one I've actually been to. So we're going to cover the Colonial Park Cemetery and the Bonaventure Cemetery.
Yay!
All right. So history of Colonial Park Cemetery. So it was started as the Colonial Cemetery, and it was established in 1750 when Savannah was the capital of the British province of Georgia, the last of the 13 colonies. So 1750, very old, the first primary cemetery in Savannah, Georgia. And in 1789, it expanded to be 6 acres. And it was the primary public cemetery until 1853, when they ran out of space. So they're like, no more burying anyone here. And then in 1896, it became a park, and it went from the Colonial Cemetery to the Colonial Park Cemetery.
Oh, so interesting. It became a park after it was a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
How is there a swing set?
So it's really big. If you like look on Google Maps, like you just see a big green area. I'm going to answer your question in a second. Hold on.
Okay, sorry.
You're fine. But okay, the people buried there are Revolutionary War soldiers and yellow fever victims. I've covered yellow fever in Savannah, Georgia in an earlier podcast episode. That's episode 12.
Episode 11?
12.
Oh, shoot, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Moon River Brewing Company.
I said that so confidently. Okay.
Your episode was episode 11.
Yeah. King's Tavern, baby.
But since that was 80 episodes ago, here's a little bit of a refresher. So basically, in the more tropical areas in the Americas near the equator, yellow fever was spreading via mosquito bites, and people were fleeing to Savannah, Georgia, because they figured it was temperate enough in Savannah, and it was like the biggest city in the time. They figured that they would be safe from yellow fever in Savannah. But unfortunately, they were going to Savannah, Georgia, not knowing that they were sick. And so Savannah, Georgia just became awash with yellow fever. The worst was in 1820. That was, or the 1820s. But yeah, a lot of people died of yellow fever in Savannah. As for how it is a park today, even though there's supposedly over 10,000 graves in this area. Well, in the 1860s, during the Civil War, after they had already finished saying, like, no more bodies can be buried here, Union soldiers came in and they used the cemetery as, like, their headquarter camping area. And, like, they would break open mausoleums and sleep in there for shelter. And they were temporarily burying their dead in the cemetery. And unfortunately, the Union soldiers, when they were, I guess, not actively doing something, decided it would be fun to deface or destroy tombstones.
Oh.
And so a lot of them are gone. So even though the bodies are still there, there's no tombstone anymore. Some of the years are incorrect. Some of the names are incorrect of the ones that still exist, just because they went in and kind of like hand chiseled different years into it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is the history. It is haunted. Supposedly.
I'm gonna steal that for future episodes. Just for that transition. Okay. Wow.
So here are the ghosts. So some general ghosty thingies. Some people walking. So the park closes at 8 and it's surrounded by a wrought iron fence. And you can, like, look into the park after nightfall, but you can't go into it. And they have security guards, so don't hop fences. But people walking by at night say that they can see shadows walking among the headstones. So, like, shadow people, but not actually shadow people, because it's just, like, they're too far away.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And it can't be a person because you can't get into the park at night. And they heavily prosecute people who break in. They also have reported seeing a green or white mist floating through the park. But it looks like it's not just like kind of going through like it's fog. It like is moving with a purpose as if it has consciousness.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay, listen. White mist that seems to have consciousness comes up a weird amount. Mm-hmm. In these episodes.
It really does.
Just putting that out there.
I've actually seen a lot of, I almost said immature. What's the opposite of professional ghost hunters?
Amateur.
Amateur, not immature. Thank you. I've seen a lot of YouTube videos of amateur ghost hunters going either while the park is open or going outside while it's closed at night, and they catch EVPs. And you can have a really good spirit box session out there. I didn't capture any of them because they were all small enough that I didn't really feel comfortable talking about them. But if you look it up online, you can like easily find these YouTube videos. And back in ye old days of disposable cameras, if you took photos of the park while it was open and then you went to go get them developed, there's a good chance that all the photos come back completely black.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Okay.
So for the named ghosts, Robin,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you the story, but I want you to not panic because the general consensus is this is not real.
Okay.
It's just, it's a little touchy because it has to deal with a child murderer. And I'm like, I feel like I have to tell you up front that it's not real. Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Of course. So the most popular ghost is that of Renee Rondelier. Rondelier. Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. But the story goes that Renee Rondelier is a man who lived near the park. He was a very tall man and he was almost 7 feet. He was known to either wear or have a layer of fur. It was not clear, but he apparently had like an aura, a way of being that made most people afraid of him. He was said to be extremely strong and extremely violent, and he was rumored to have tortured and killed local animals. And people were kind of too afraid of him to say anything. So eventually his violence spread to killing little girls. Mm-hmm. And he would go to the cemetery, find little girls who were in the cemetery, and he would wring their necks and then drag them by their necks into the tunnels underneath the cemetery. There's a tunnel system underneath Savannah, and he would go down there, and I don't want to know more details.
Mm-hmm.
So he was known to do that. Little girls were going missing, but then one day they found the bodies of two little girls outside of the cemetery, and they both had broken necks, and they're like, enough is enough. We have proof now. And so the townspeople gathered in a mob and they lynched him. And so they hung him from a nearby square, a tree in a nearby square. And supposedly you can see his ghost, which you can tell it's him because it's 7 feet tall. And you can see it walk from that square into the cemetery. Or you can see it walking around in the cemetery as one of those shadowy figures. Or there's this big old tree in the back of the cemetery. I think it's an oak. And it's called the hanging tree because it has branches that go out really far. But they're really like thick, strong branches. And supposedly you can see his body hanging from that tree. even though that's not the tree that he was supposedly hung from. However, again, this story is completely fake. There's no record of anybody named Rene Rondelier. There's no record of girls dying or going missing in the area. There's no records of somebody being lynched. None of that. So there's no records of even a piece of this. However, people knowing this still claim that they see a 7-foot tall shadow walking around.
That's so interesting. Because, like, I mean, it really does sound like a tall tale.
Literally tall?
Literally tall. Uh-huh. And then plus, like, the whole either has fur or wears a layer of fur thing. It kind of sounds like a fairy tale villain.
Yeah. But, I mean, if people say... A lot of people say that they see him, but I don't know if they know the story before they see him, or they see him and then they learn the story. And I feel
hey, 7-foot tall dude.
Yeah, I feel like people who see him and then know the story are more reputable than the people who know the story and then go to the cemetery and be like, where's the 7-foot? There it is! You know?
Yeah. But I do think, like, you are definitely more likely to, quote, see something.
Yeah.
If you know about it already.
Yeah. So this next little section, it's not exactly ghosty, but it is spooky, as we have decided to define it on this show. So even though voodoo is home in New Orleans, Savannah would be, like, the vacation home of voodoo. So, Colonial Park Cemetery employees will often open the park in the morning and find evidence that there was a voodoo ceremony that happened at the park that night. So somebody must have broken in, but basically they'll find, I don't know what they define as remnants, but they're like, oh, yep, they see something and voodoo happened here, apparently.
Okay.
And people will also take soil from the graves while the park is open, because grave soil is apparently helpful in either voodoo or witchy things. And there have been a few reports of graves being broken into and human bones going missing.
Okay. The one, like, I will say, there's lots of misconceptions about voodoo. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of things that aren't voodoo are kind of blamed as being voodoo.
Yeah, that's why I said or witchy things, because I know, like,
yeah,
some witch rituals do require or call for the soil of a grave, and I don't think that necessarily is bad. And I feel like there are a lot of people who are just bad people who use that as an excuse to steal human bones.
What?
Like, do you remember on Tumblr, there was this girl on Tumblr, and she was a self-proclaimed witch, and...
I don't know this.
Oh my god. She was selling human bones on the internet of, like, she went to cemeteries, broke into the crates, and, like, stole human bones. And she was selling them on the internet. And she's like, but I'm a witch. I'm selling it to other witches, so it's okay.
None of that is okay.
No.
None of that is okay. But I just wanted to point out that, like, people, like, whenever somebody says, like, oh, that's voodoo, I just don't automatically agree with that, because there are so many misconceptions that were, like, purposefully put out there way when it all started. If y'all want to learn more about voodoo, check out our Marie Laveau episode. Just wanted to put that out there.
No, I completely agree with you, and that's why I kind of was like, this is what they say.
This is what they say.
Yeah. And they don't tell me what remnants they find that they believe is voodoo.
Remnants.
But all I have to say is, clean up after yourselves if you go to a park. Don't leave anything behind. And don't steal bones. Don't grave rob. So... this next little section, and I think second to last section. So this next section, there is a area outside of the park. So there's this big brick wall, and then there is another little park area, but it's not part of the cemetery. It it has a basketball court and it has a little children's playground, but apparently that is built on top of the mass grave of yellow fever victims.
See, okay, when you said there were 10,000 graves and that yellow fever was involved, I was like, oh, there's a mass grave in there, isn't there?
Yeah, so...
Of course they build a basketball court over it. Can I just say, if you are buried somewhere, people are eventually going to use that land for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, time and time again, like, we have a lake near us, and I'm pretty sure, unless it's like a folktale, but I'm pretty sure that there's graves under it, because I went camping at one of those islands and I found a little tiny cemetery there.
Yeah.
And if that's all on one of the islands, you know it's elsewhere.
Absolutely. There are dead bodies in that lake.
Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all. Just had to put that out there.
So there is a mass grave of yellow fever victims, and there is around 700 people in this mass grave. And if you believe the tour guides, because, you know, there's a lot of haunted tours of Savannah.
Yes.
If you believe them, there's 666 people buried in this mass grave.
I don't believe that. I don't think anybody is that precise about a mass grave.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't think they're ticking it off.
But all of that said, this is what locals believe. This is what people are told. This is what, if you ask people about this section, they're like, oh, yeah, you mean where the mass grave is? So people know this as the mass grave area. But there was a group of, I'm assuming, government officials who went to this area and used a penetrating radar. You know what that is?
It goes down.
Yeah, it's basically, it's like, it kind of looks like a lawnmower, and they just kind of like push it along the ground, and it sends a radar into the ground, and it comes back, and it just tells you what's in the ground without having to dig everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And according to their field study, they were not able to find any bones.
Okay.
So if you told that to a local, they'd probably be like, eh, you're lying. But... just saying, that's one of the sources I found said that.
Gotcha.
But this area that is a mass grave was also a popular dueling site. And many people died in this area fighting for their honor or whatever the heck they dueled for. So
I do think it's often honor.
It's often honor. Or somebody else's honor, like their wives or sister's honor.
Yes.
So one of the most famous duels was between Lieutenant James Wild and Captain Roswell P. Johnson, and they dueled in the cemetery in 1815, just 6 years after it was outlawed. And the reason of the duel is unknown, but Johnson ended up shooting James Wild on the fourth shot and killed him. And James Wild was buried in the cemetery. And people believe that he, along with several other duelists and all the people with the mass graves, are the people who haunt the grounds and make up some of these shadow figures that we see.
Hmm.
Yes. So the last little ghost of this section, the cemetery, is called the Jumping Boy. Rob and I have a video for you.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's not scary. It's not jump scare. It's okay. So a teen named Jesse Greathouse was visiting from Ohio in 2008 in December. And he was there for Christmas break, and he was walking through the cemetery with family that he was visiting. And they were just walking through the cemetery, and he had a new camcorder that he had just gotten. So, of course, he was recording everything, you know, and he caught this on video. So Robin is about to watch this video. It's linked in our sources, and she's skipping to 1 minute and 14 seconds. So I'm going to real quick describe the video. Have you seen all of, I mean, it's only like 30 seconds of it that you have to watch.
I am pretty sure I saw the 30 seconds I needed to see.
Okay, so in the video, they claim that there is a shadowy woman that I can't see on the video myself.
I didn't see the shadowy woman either.
Yeah, so they say that there's a shadowy woman running away and that there's a little boy chasing her. And then once he gets under a tree, he jumps straight up onto one of the branches of the tree, and then he drops straight back down. And it's not a natural movement at all.
No, and you can see the, at least for me, I could see the drop much easier than I could see the jump up.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I can see there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bug. And it's from a distance.
Yes.
And so, like, in all honesty, it kind of looks like a white blur, but mm-hmm. with kind of like almost, you know, cartoon stars have like their limbs. It's kind of like almost a cartoon star arms and legs a little bit to me. And it's running along. And I could believe that it's like a boy, though, like, honestly, it's completely white.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a little bit weird. But I can believe that it's a boy. I don't believe that a boy could jump up like that, a mm-hmm. living boy, or come down like that. I also, one of my like thoughts is like, well, would I think that this is a boy if he weren't saying it's a boy? Like, would I think that this is just a weird looking animal that because it's at a distance, I can't see that well?
So in the video that I had you skip, he did say that he saw it with his eyes and then he focused his camera on it. So mm-hmm. he saw the boy, and maybe that would have, like, he was able to see that is a boy, let me record. But this is a 2008 camcorder. So the quality's not great at a distance.
No, yeah.
Probably zoomed in.
Definitely zoomed in.
And there's like people just like walking around, not paying attention to it. Like, it doesn't seem like anybody else reacts to it.
Oh, so are you saying, like, maybe nobody else saw it?
Maybe. Somebody in the comment section of that YouTube video said that the way he fell out of the tree, it looks like a body that's being hung or hanged. But I was like, okay, maybe. Because, he does fall straight down, and it's pretty sharp. I think
that's just how people fall, though.
I think that's just how people fall, yeah.
Yeah, and he, like, went to the ground, so.
Yeah.
I think that that's a compelling thing to include.
Yes.
I think that it could be something else, though honestly I can't think of like what would run like that or jump like that or fall like that.
And I did see one source say, oh, it's already been debunked. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, wait, no. You can't just tell me it's been debunked and not
and then not tell me
what why. Yeah, so theoretically,
maybe debunked.
Maybe. Now, Robin, I have mm-hmm. a very reliable source to tell you about who this boy could be. Okay. Very, very reliable. Very, very reliable. There is a comment on that YouTube video by.
Starting off strong.
Uh huh. By somebody named Bird Brains. And that is. As in three S's at the end of brain. So Bird Brains. Mm-hmm. I trust them with my life. They say that this boy's name is Andrew. And he is reliving how he died because he fell into an open grave when he was 7. And the reason Bird Brains knows this is because they were on a ghost tour in the cemetery once and they spoke to him.
Oh, they spoke to the boy.
Mm-hmm. The ghost.
And the boy said, the reason I jump out of trees is so because suddenly,
I died by falling into a grave.
But why did he go up? He went up first. He stayed up there a little bit.
Robin, are you second guessing Bird Brains on this podcast?
No, you're right. I should really trust Bird Brains.
Excuse me? Put some respect on the name. It's Bird Brains.
Bird Brains.
No hate to you, Bird Brains. I just need a little bit more proof.
I like the story, though.
I do. It sounds like a plausible story of mm-hmm. somebody falling into a grave and dying. Like, that's something that happens.
Is?
I think I've heard that happen in real life once or twice.
Okay, but then why, again, would they jump up first?
Robin.
And stay in a tree for a bit.
I don't have the answers to the universe, okay?
I just, and again, no hate on Bird Brains, or the other comment. I'm wondering why everybody is justifying the need to jump out of a tree once you've jumped into it. Plenty of people and things have done that for a long time. Most things that go into a tree come eventually out of it. Leave the tree.
All right. Well, that is it for Colonial Cemetery. And now we're going into Bonaventure Cemetery. So this has a little less history. So this one is on the Willington River, and it's known for its plant life, including live oaks. And Robin, we need to go in the springtime. Like, I saw photos, and it's just beautiful.
Oh, goodness. I want to go.
Yeah. So there's this book. It's called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil by John Berend. And there was later a movie, and I think it starred Clint Eastwood. That
It starred since disgraced Kevin Spacey.
Oh, wow.
I somewhat recently saw the movie, and I actually have more to say about this, but continue.
Okay. Well, the book focuses on a sculpture of a young girl that was that theoretically was in this cemetery, and this cemetery did have one of a young girl, and it was called Bird Girl in the novel. And due to the books and the movie's popularity, the sculpture was actually removed from the cemetery and put on display in the Telfair Museum, and then later in the Jepson Center for the Arts, which is owned by the Telfair Museum, because they were afraid that with the popularity, tourists would come to see it, and if it was just in the cemetery, they would eventually accidentally destroy it.
Doesn't that just suck?
Yeah, it really does.
So we just can't have
good things.
Yeah.
But so that book kind of led to popularity of this cemetery. It was established in 1846, and it is 160 acres. And it was originally a plantation. Just want to let you know. It was known as the Bonaventure Plantation, but it's 160 acres, but the plantation was 600 acres. So it's not the entirety of it. And the cemetery is still open, and you can still purchase interment rights here.
Oh, so you can be buried there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's very expensive, though.
I'm sure.
Do you want to talk about that book/movie right now?
Okay, real quick.
Yeah.
Just because I saw the movie, and it is based on a real, I don't know if I want to say, I'm kind of a little bit hazy on the crime itself, but like, okay, it's based on like a real death and a real like investigation that happened in Savannah in this one house that is like, since I think people are wondering if it's haunted or something, but it's red brick. And I think I saw a little bit of it in the movie. I looked it up and then I was like, oh my gosh, because oh my life. In my house is that I've lived in, we've had this like little tiny painting artwork of a house that I knew was like from Savannah. It's that house.
Oh, wow.
It's that house. Like, I spent a while in front of it going back and forth between the picture and the painting. 100% it is that house. It's hanging up in my living room right now.
Do you have a painting of that house because it was a popular?
I need to look it up a little bit more. I don't know when the painting was made. It might be in a little inscription there, but we've had it for forever. I don't think like my parents would have gotten it being like, ah, yes, the crime has been committed here, but it might have been painted because it was now a little bit more popular. But I do think, if I'm a little bit correct, like it was a very like rich guy who owned it at the time. And I think that it was kind of a little bit of a well-known space anyway.
Gotcha. Okay.
I might be completely saying false things. I'm not doing it intentionally. I haven't done my research. But yeah. Anyway, just wanted to put that out there.
Well, thank you. That's really cool.
It was interesting because I like realized it the same day I watched the movie. Yeah. Okay, right. Bonaventure.
Yes. So the Bonaventure Cemetery ghosts. Because this one's also haunted.
What?
I know.
So to take that direction.
Yeah. So basically, just real quick, the Bird Girl statue supposedly is haunted by Lorraine Greenman, who was the girl who posed for the photo that was used as a reference for the sculptor.
Okay.
So she supposedly haunts the statue. But
I'm sorry for laughing. That just sounds like a little bit of a...
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, but it's several steps to get there.
Yeah. But it's just like everywhere I saw was like, and she haunts the statue. Anyway, do. And it's like, hold on, you can't just say it. Like, how? Does she cry? Like, tell me how. But so that's...
Ooh, I could get behind a crying statue.
We're going to get to one. So, yes. Some general hauntings to start us off. Some statues. There's a lot of statues in this area. And they start plain-faced or whatever natural expression that they have. And then you'll look away, and then you'll look back, and suddenly they're smiling. Or maybe they're grimacing. And if you're a Doctor Who fan, that's probably going to make you shit bricks.
Oh yeah, because you blinked, and then the angel gets closer, right?
Mm-hmm. The weeping angel that's a statue kind of thing. Yes. What's
that? I didn't watch that episode.
But, so apparently they'll change facial expressions. This one, to me, is the most disturbing. It, you know how, like, when you go to a cemetery that doesn't really have anybody that you know in it, and you'll just kind of, like, walk up and down the rows and just be like, oh, this one was only 4 years old when they passed. That's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, if you linger at any grave that has an infant in it, you'll hear the sound of a baby crying.
Hmm.
And then if you linger at the grave of any child's, you'll hear the sound of children giggling.
I prefer the giggling one.
Yeah, I think I want neither.
Well, okay, yeah. That's the right answer.
But like, but anyway, another odd sound people will hear when they're in the cemetery. They'll also hear packs of dogs snarling and barking as if they're about to get in a fight. But, like, you can look around and there's no dogs anywhere. And perhaps it's because it's full of very lifelike statues, but many people feel watched in the cemetery, even during daylight.
I like that a lot. I don't want to be watched, but I do. That's a good haunted cemetery fact. Thank you.
You're welcome. But the pinnacle of this cemetery is Little Gracie. So Gracie Watson was the daughter of Pulaski Hotel managers W.J. and Frances Watson. She was fairly popular because she was this adorable little girl who would greet people at the hotel. She would play in the lobby. Everybody in the area knew her. And if people, because back then, people would actually hang out in hotel lobbies and socialize.
Mm.
And, like, if you were in the lobby and socializing, and you're like, it's getting late, I have to go home, you would be like, oh, where's Gracie? Oh, she must be in bed. It's that time already? Well, you guys have a good night. Like, literally, that's what they would do, because she was just so central to this lobby.
Mm.
But unfortunately, she grew sick with pneumonia, and she passed in 1889 when she was 7 years old. And her parents were obviously heartbroken, and they commissioned John Walls to sculpt a grave marker for her. And so he made a two-size photorealistic sculpture of Gracie sitting on a little bench. So she was laid to rest under that sculpture in the Bonaventure Cemetery. And if you go there, you can actually potentially see her playing in the cemetery. She'll run around through the bushes and between the gravestones. And sometimes she'll even interact with people who are visiting or play with other kids. And they all say that she's a little girl in a white dress and she makes no sound.
Hmm.
Yeah. A common report that people make will be that they'll be walking, and there's several benches in the cemetery, and they'll see a little girl in a white dress sitting on a bench, and they'll get closer and she'll just disappear.
Oh, I like that, because it's a nice ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will leave toys at her grave, especially around Christmas time. However, they say that if you try to take away any of her toys, the statue will cry blood tears. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, like just blood coming out of the eyes. And then when you place the toy back, they'll disappear without a trace.
I would never take her toys.
Never. I mean, I'm sure like the groundskeepers kind of have to, but...
Maybe she doesn't cry tears of blood with them.
Maybe. Maybe they're very respectable about it.
Okay.
But there is a more fantastical legend, in my opinion at least, that if you put a quarter on her hand and then you circle the statue three times, by the time you come to the front on the third time, the quarter will be gone.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then, so Gracie was also known to haunt the hotel that her parents worked at. So her parents moved out of Georgia shortly after her death. And people who remained still knew of her, though. And they say that they have walked by the hotel and they saw her in the windows.
Mm-hmm.
They would just report seeing a little girl in a white dress. Or they'll see her playing in the lobby if they're staying there. Staff members report hearing her voice on the stairwell. And others refused to go into the basement because after she passed, they started hearing low moaning and clanking metal in the basement.
I think that's an unrelated mechanical issue.
I kind of think that it could be like maybe her dad was the one who took care of something down there. And then when they moved away, there was a mechanical issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's the little girl
making
the low moaning and the clanking sound.
Because, like, everything else is wholesome about her, except for maybe the tears of blood. But...
it's understandable.
The Pulaski Hotel was torn down in 1957, and so she's unable to haunt it. However, there is a tour guide who claims that in 2002... she was leading a group past the former location of the hotel because it's now like one of those green squares, as in like forest, like trees, not like it's painted green. but she was bringing them by the square and she was being a good tour guide and she was facing the people while the people were looking at the square. And she said that as she was talking to her group, she looked at the building across the street. And in the windows of the building across the street, she saw a reflection of a four-story building she's never seen before. And she turned around, and there was no building there.
Oh, and then that's cool.
But then she looked back around to the building, and the reflection was still there. And the whole time she told the story about Gracie, she saw the reflection. But when they moved on, the reflection disappeared.
Okay.
And then when she gets back from the tour, she's like, holy fudge, do I have a story? And they look up historical records of what the Pulaski Hotel looked like. And it was exactly the type of house, building that she saw.
That's awesome. I've got chills.
Isn't that so cool?
That is so cool.
Oh, my God.
That is so cool.
This little girl is so powerful. She conjured a whole building. That is the last, like, haunting of Gracie and of our story. But I do want to just real quick say Gracie's grave is now surrounded by a wrought iron fence to prevent destruction because people were rubbing the statue for good luck. And while it's okay if one person does it, when everybody does it, the natural oils in our hands corrodes the marble. So they were worried about her statue becoming nothing. And so they put a wrought iron fence around it. And locals like to say that the wrought iron fence is not to keep people out. It's to keep Gracie in.
Oh, of course. I'd hate to suffer the wrath of this sweet 7-year-old.
Exactly. But yes, those are my two Savannah cemeteries for you today, Robin.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad we hit up a cemetery for realsies before we were done with our first 100 episodes.
I feel like it was necessary.
It was necessary. And people always say, like, well, why would people always say, in the internet, when I've purposefully looked these things up, some people say, well, why would cemeteries be haunted? Everybody who's like there is like dead. Well, just it feels like they should be.
It okay, really
that's
does.
The answer. It feels right.
It does. It does.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that today.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, subscribe, review, tell a friendo, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/hauntedhospitality. For just $3 a month, you get a new episode with us.
Yes, and it comes out on the 13th because we are spooky. If you want to go see my sources, you can head over to hauntedhospitality.wordpress.com. If you have your own spooky story, you can write to us at hauntedhospitalitypodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear if you've been to either of these cemeteries. Or you can slide into our DMs.
Yes, we are on Twitter at Haunted Host. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Haunted Hospitality. We hope to see you there.
Stay spooky!